Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, which everyone you want to call me, praise God, just call me a child of God. And I'm so very, 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 very grateful and thankful that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday. Praise God, one that we've never seen and one that we will never see again. And I'm so excited on tonight, one, because normally I don't look at my screen to see who's dialed in. In the beginning of my show, or at the end of my shows either, for that matter, because I always want to make sure that it was just one. praise God, I will share what God has called and laid on my heart to share. But there's a lot of lights on tonight, so praise God, I'm just excited that you tune in on this wonderful Monday. And it's the first Monday, praise God, of Black History Month. And so we want to make sure that we acknowledge those that have made contributions to our country and to our world, that have been obedient to their gifts and their assignments. And so for those of us that are pursuing whatever gifts and our dreams, using the gifts and talents that God is using, maybe someday, praise God, they will study us. But nevertheless, we want to make sure that we always acknowledge those. And so I always, always, always acknowledge those of you that may be listening for the very first time. So if this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. We thank you for tuning in. Like I said, this is Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and empower the glory of God. It may not be something that is brand new to you as far as the education part. We want to make sure that we encourage you. And then the thing, the educating part is, like I said, it may not be brand new, but it's something to make you kind of think, kind of pause, and then maybe study and get a little bit more understanding. And then we want you to be empowered by whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to know and to grow from, and then be empowered to make that change. But then just not to stop there, but to also share it with somebody else. And so we'll be grateful, grateful, grateful that you did. And so we want you to tune in every Monday night. For those of you that have been with me, can you believe we're going on 9 years? It's been 9 years we've been in this vein, and I'm so grateful that God has blessed you to be here with me, whether it's been 2 months, 2 years, 8 years, praise God, however long you've been with me, I'm grateful that you tune in each week because you get an inspiring word, and praise God, you inspire me, and so I'm praising and believing that God will give us a word on tonight so that we can be empowered, that we can be encouraged, and definitely make some necessary changes by being educated. And then I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge Tammy and Jesse Store, because praise God, they are the ones that led me to this vein. So I will always call out their names and be grateful for them for their excitement for being part of their ministry. And so I'm grateful. But the biggest praise has to go to God our Father. So we always want to start the broadcast with an upbeat tongue, where we know that when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then we want to make sure that we go to God before we go to our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us everything that we've encountered on today. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to acknowledge who you are. We thank you for allowing us to be able to see and hear and dream and all the things that we accomplished on today. And the things that we didn't accomplish, Father, we thank you that you will give us another opportunity to get it done. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so with that being said, we know that if we've given our lives to you, we have an opportunity to do what you've called us to do, because you've given us talents, you've given us gifts, and you said that you gave us a plan, and that plan is for us to prosper. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you, that you love us enough, that you provide resources for us. You gave us your word. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And then, praise God, if it wasn't for the blood and the sacrifice Jesus made, none of this would be possible. So we thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask that you be with us in this hour of power and allow us to gain the insight and the wisdom that you have for us tonight. Remove me and let it be all of you, so that you can make sure that you touch the hearts and minds of the people that are listening on tonight or next week or 2 years from now when they go back to the broadcast. But we just thank you, Father. We thank you for being the vine, we're branches, and as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you want to call me. Just call me a child of God. But I'm excited that you have tuned in on tonight to hear an inspiring word. It's inspiring to me because, praise God, I love talking about things, about how we can change and how we can grow into the things of God. And so one of the things that we have been talking about in the past couple of weeks has been about developing change and how we need to do things according to the plan and purpose and the skills and the talents that we have, so that we can be whatever it is that God has designed for all of us to be. And so last week we talked about well, a couple of weeks ago, I want to make sure that I bring this up again, that we talked about choice and we talked about free will and how God gives us choices and then he gives us free will to make those choices. And so we always want to make sure that we lean to him and glean to him to make sure that we're making the right decisions. And then last week, we talked about seen and unseen and how I was pressing for seen and unseen danger because I had been on a trip, but God said, no, just seen and unseen. And we basically talked about the stages of moral development and how God sees us, and then we think that we're being unseen when we really are being seen. And so we have to be reminded that when we're talking about moral development, we're talking about the process of how we develop ourselves, how we develop our proper attitudes, behaviors, and how we relate to other people in our society. And then they're based pretty much on our cultural norms, the rules and laws that we kind of set for ourselves, our parents set for us, other people in our community set for us. But in that, we have our own way that we focus. And so those focuses were three things, and that's why they were three stages: the focus that we have for ourselves, the focus that we have for others, and then the focus that we have for godly principles. And so we use a couple of scriptures that I just want to highlight. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And seeing what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so we want to be reminded when we think about that passage that many times we get caught up on what we have because, again, we're focusing on ourselves, and we're not thinking about the things that are unseen, our personalities and what people really see in us and how they're being led to do certain things based on the message that we see or that we give out because of, praise God, how we focus on ourselves and see ourselves. And then when we go to, let me go back to that for even ourselves. And so for the things unseen, we want to make sure that when we give our lives to Christ, that we want to do those things because those things that we do for God are eternal because they're generational. But when we think that we're doing things for ourselves that God is not watching or paying attention, trust me, he is. And so sometimes we get caught up with the unseen things, and we don't believe that nobody sees, but he does. And so, nevertheless, while we went to Isaiah 29:15, and it says, woe to those who go through great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? And that's why we have to make sure that we know that what we do in the dark will come to the light. And so we have to be mindful that if you're big and bad to do it in the dark, be big and bad to do it in the light. Amen. And so we do that based on Hebrews 11:1, because it says, now faith is in the evidence of things not seen. And so when we're developing our moral development, and when we do it for self, we do it for others, and we do it for godly principles, we want to make sure that they're lining up with the things of God, because then, praise God, then we don't have to worry about whether it's seen or unseen. But then if we do things that are not according to the things of God, we talked about 1 John 1:9, where if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that's the thing that I think most of us forget. We do things in the dark. We do things in the light. But nevertheless, wherever you do them, you can repent and God will forgive you. And so we can't get caught up in believing that we have to live under this cloud of condemnation, because that's not God. He will convict you when you do things that are not according to the plan and purpose for your life, but he won't convict you, and I mean condemn you. And so we got to be mindful of that. That's the devil's job. And so on tonight, it brings us to, if I had to go for a sake of a subject, is we have to grow up. And many times we don't know how to grow up in the things of God. We give our lives to God, and we think because we've given our life to Christ, that's it. But no, you have to grow up. You have to do things that show evidence of your growth. Just as I love how God gave me years ago the analogy of school. You go to kindergarten, and then in order for you to go to first grade, you have to prove that you've understood whatever the lesson plan is and what you should know in kindergarten before you go to first grade, and then so on. And so you can't stay in kindergarten and graduate from high school. It doesn't work that way. And it doesn't work that way when we're talking about spiritual matters either. And so when God gave me grow up, I was excited because, amen, there's a lot of ways I could go with that. or study, I should say. And then one of the things that came to me was, okay, Leah, if you think that you got this covered, everything ain't about you. It's about him. And so I have to be reminded even for myself that when we're doing things that we have to be mindful, is this a God thing? Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. And so we have to ask him, Lord, is this something that will represent you? Is this something that will show that I am mature and that I'm growing spiritually? Isn't it funny? At least it is for me. Going to church, when I was going to church on a consistent basis and seeing the same people and they would be in the same way year after year, and it's like, where is their growth? And so we want to make sure that we're growing in the things of God, and if we're not, then we're still babes. And we know what the word says about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things that I think that God, since you know I love steps, and one of the things that I liked when I was doing my study was all these ups. It was grow up, wake up, look up, get up, rest up, break up, and give up. And so grow up, of course, when we grow up, just to give you a little scenario of what I believe God wants for us to know tonight, we'll break it down. But to grow up, to have a focus on kingdom advancing, that is why we grow up. We want to grow up spiritually. We want to grow up physically and naturally and all those other things, emotionally and all those things too. But basically, we want to make sure that we are focused on the kingdom advancement. And so that's how we show evidence of growing up. Wake up. One of the things that I really, really, really have been able to focus on in the last couple of weeks, especially doing my book, is understanding if we really wake up to understand that we have power, we have authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and they can't harm us. When you wake up to really realize if you have power and authority, amen, it's easy to grow up because you're not bound by anything, because you know that if I can trample on scorpions and serpents and nothing hurts, are you kidding me? And then I know that God will forgive me for anything. Are you kidding me? You'll wake up. Amen. Look up. Look up goes with kind of wake up. You have to look up and know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're looking up to him, you know that he has the answer. He has the plan that he's giving you, and you just got to follow the plan. So you got to know you got to grow up, you got to wake up, you got to look up. And then after you look up and you wake up and you know that you got to grow up, you got to give up, get up. If you don't get up and praise God, you don't put no movement, you don't live like you've been redeemed, then praise God, you'll stay bound, and so you'll stay covered with failures and shortcomings and missed opportunities, sicknesses and diseases. When I hit cancer, I mean, I could have really stayed in the bed and not realized that I could get up. I could have laid in my bed of affliction and stayed there. I could have stayed and wallowed in self-pity and whatever it was that I was thinking, because why was this beyond me? I'm doing all this stuff for the Lord. Why would this guy, I could get caught up. And so even in the midst of me healing, a lot of people told me, Leah, you got to rest. You got to stop. You got to sit down. You're doing too much. You got to rest. And so the next was rest up. Well, rest doesn't always mean sleep. Rest means rest in him, rest in his voice, rest in the assignment that he's called for you. Like I said, writing this book, I've been so distracted. And so I haven't rested in him enough to know exactly how I'm supposed to lay this book out. I mean, I kind of have an idea, but praise God. Am I resting in him enough to make sure that I'm writing what he wants me to write? And so now I know I got to grow up, I got to wake up, I got to look up, I got to get up, and I got to rest up. And rest up don't mean sleep, nevertheless. It can, but for the most part, in order for us to grow up, we got to rest in him. And then break up. We got to break up from some old mindsets and then break up from some people. Sometimes we're connected to things that are weighing us down, that's preventing us from growing. And so you got to find out what those things are, and I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. But you got to know that you got to release and you got to leave those things, and so you got to break up. And then last but not least is give up. Give up. So many times we think that we can't do certain things, so we just give up. Lord, you know, I'm 50 and I, you know, didn't finish the degrees that I thought that I wanted to achieve, but amen, it's over. that's a give up mindset. I could have given up, but I had my doctorate degree after 50. I finished my master's in my 40s, but I mean, amen, you can't give up. If those are things that God has laid on your heart to pursue, do them. I still plan to, you know, write my book and you know, do conferences and do all these things. And Leah, how can you do all that and have that mindset? You're still healing from the cancer thing. But amen, I'm not giving up on what God told me what I'm supposed to accomplish. And so in order for you to do that, you got to have some goals. And so that's part of growing up. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, about why it's so important for us to really understand the plan that God has for us. Because just because it kind of goes back to the seen and unseen, just because we don't see the plan that God has for us doesn't give us the right to quit and to give up. And one of the songs that I always loved hearing from Yolanda and Adam, part of the lyric says, I don't have the right to give up. I don't have the right to give in. I've got to put my trust in you, and you're going to bring me through. And so I just want to say it again because it gives me goosebumps every time I hear this song. I don't have the right to give up. I don't have the right to give in. I've got to put my trust in you, and you've always brought me through. And so, I mean, I think we forget that. And so sometimes that keeps us from going up because we get caught up and we stay on the milk. And so, grown folks, we don't live on milk alone. We get to meat, and so we got to grow to spiritual meat. Now, I agree that, you know, grown folks, when they give their life to Christ, they can't just jump on meat just because they're grown. You got to start the process over because you got to learn things of God, and so it's okay to be on milk. And so I like the scripture that God gave for today. Praise God, I'm trying to. It's our main set of scriptures. It is, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I can't find it. Praise God. Well, let me read this scripture while I have it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and it's verse 2. It says, like newborn babes crave spiritual milk, so by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now, the coolest thing about salvation is I think that sometimes we forget. And so when we give our lives to Christ, salvation is very important because it's not just giving our lives to Christ. That's salvation. Salvation goes from beginning of your walk with the Lord to the end because Jesus died for us to have salvation. And that's not just walking up to the church and taking the pastor's hand, or you may have done with your grandma or with your aunties or whoever has led you to Christ. It's more than just that. Salvation is your life, your complete, the seen and unseen. All of that is encompassed in your salvation because Jesus died for you to have an opportunity to do what we've all been called to do. And we've all been called to share the goodness of God. And so just for the sake of definitions, because you know I love definitions. Salvation, to the preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. And then from a theological standpoint, is deliverance from sin and its consequences, believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ. And another way it is said is salvation is the state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. And so we put ourselves or we allow ourselves to get into situations because, again, a couple weeks ago we talked about choice and we talked about free will. We choose. We choose the situations that we want to be in. We choose to be in environments and do certain things that we not necessarily God has told us to be in, but because it seems good and because it seems cool, we do them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the assignment that God has for us. And so when we do that, praise God, and I go here because one of the things that I had to learn was that my relationship, my salvation, my journey with the things of God was not based on the pastor. It was not based on what my grandmother wanted me to live or how she thought I should live or the people that I had encountered along the way. It was my relationship and what I was committing to God when I chose salvation. And so, yes, people along the way, you're a wonderful person, you're a giver, you're all these attributes and accolades. That means nothing. It's what does God say about me? And so if I'm not comfortable what God says about me or how I feel about as my relation to God, then it's my responsibility to write down, get a piece of paper, and make some changes. And so that's why I love God does analogies and use metaphors and gives us, what is my favorite thing, examples, they're not examples, visuals, that's my word, gives us visuals. And so that's why I love the visual of school and how we first have to learn how to add, and then when we add, then we subtract, and then when we subtract, we multiply and divide, and then we go into fractions, and then we go into decimals, and then it all kind of makes sense because we learn the basics. And it's almost like, you know, people say you have to crawl before you walk. Well, kind of seen a couple of babies do kind of walk first, but you know, they scoop till they get to the walk. So, but nevertheless, there's a process. And so if you don't understand your process, because if you're looking through the eyes of your family member, you know, we hear all the time, she lives in the shadow of her sister, or she lives in the shadow of her brother. No, we have to understand that we are responsible for our own actions. And so if we don't understand that what we do, not even if you don't even believe in Jesus, you know, you're just listening because I asked you to listen. At the end of the day, we all have to grow. We all have to have a progression. That's why we age. Well, we, you know, thank y'all for saying happy birthday. Why we have birthdays, because we should show some maturity as we move from age to age. It's part of growing. But we should grow morally, spiritually, emotionally, all of that too, financially. We should grow. And when you don't grow, there's a problem. And so you get stagnant. And so it was interesting. A couple of minutes ago, I was talking to a good friend, Miss Parker, if you're listening. We were talking about skimming and how we get stuck. You know, we look at that skim milk, those of you that drink coffee, and how they put that little froth or frosted, whatever they call it, and that's that skim all across the top. And so many of us live there, and we don't even get to the milk part before we even get to the coffee. So none of us even experience the espresso in the coffee because we've never gone past that top level. And so when you grow, you have to understand that in order to get to the good part. And so sometimes we get stuck because we don't want to go through the mucky muck. But the mucky muck is necessary at times, because if you don't go through some things, then praise God, how will we ever grow? How will we ever see that that when you plant seeds, that there's a fruition of a plant that comes from that? And so I like I said, the subject that I believe God wants us to come from, and mind you, there's quite a few scriptures, so I'm just going to skim through some of them. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and so in your spare time, I suggest that you read that. But it says, and I'm like I said, I'm going to tell you which scriptures I'm reading. I'm going to start with one. But it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Verse 3, you are still worldly, and for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. You are acting like mere humans. But for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollo, are you not mere human beings? And so basically what this is saying is that, you know, there was two leaders. And so you could follow the example of this one, you can follow the example of this one. But nevertheless, where are you? Are you still an infant? Or are you ready to move on to the things of being led by God by yourself? One of the things that I think that sometimes we get caught up, it said quarreling and jealousy among you is worldly and acting like mere humans. When we allow different things to go on in our lives and we get kind of caught up, if you will, stuck. But it's because we haven't matured in certain areas. I remember someone once said to me, she's like, Leah, something's different about you, but I just can't put my hands on it. And I said, I'm free. And she said, no, it's not that. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. I'm free. it doesn't bother me anymore. I don't allow the things that people used to say to me bother me. Leah, you're not going to dress up today? Nope. You don't think you should? No. Well, you know, people that normally do this, that's what they do. Well, that's them. I'm not them. I'm me. And if I don't feel good, I'm hurt. You don't know my situation because, one, I don't complain a lot, and I don't tell people when I'm hurting. When I'm hurting and I tell you that I'm really, really hurting. But nevertheless, I operate and beat to Leah's drum. And so as long as God is cool with it, I don't care what you say about me. I had to grow to that. There was a time that I was so people bondage that I got my hair done 2 or 3 times a week because I had to be right and tight. I had my nails matched, my shoes, my purse, everything matched. I didn't wear a lot of my clothes. I never wore them again. I never repeated my clothes because I was so into what people said about me and how the accolades and things that I got. And once I got delivered from that and I realized that those were costumes, for me, now, some people like dressing up, so I'm not saying to look however. I'm just saying for me, I had to grow to that because I was caught up with people bondage, and I didn't want to live by people anymore. I didn't want to make sure that I had to stay in the mirror to make sure no hair was out of place because I was afraid somebody would say something about me. I had to grow up and realize, like I said, having my own notebook and my own pen and writing down what are the things that are hindering me. What are preventing me from going from plan A to plan B? What does God have for me that I'm not getting there because I'm caught up, like the scripture says, with jealousy and quarreling? I mean, it's so comical to me now that I learned not to argue anymore. Me and my sisters used to go at it, because all of us wanted to have the last word and all of us was right. And when God delivered me from just, I don't do that anymore. I don't want to, because all it does is allow the enemy access. And when he has access, it's not just the situation that we were arguing about, because many times we were arguing, it was all something stupid, or we were in agreement, but just out talking to each other, couldn't hear what each other was saying. I don't do that no more. And so if you're right, absolutely, go for it. You can be right. I can be right by myself, at, you know, quiet. Or I could be wrong. And then I asked God to help me deal with it. And so a mentor that taught me, she was like, Leah, and so we laugh at it now because it's like Pastor Talk, because we were at an event, church, go figure. And so it was, no, we do hopscotch this way. And I was like, no, this is how I grew up. That's wrong. And so I felt bad because I was doing this for the children. And she pulled me to the side and she's like, Leah, give them the chalk. If they know the best way how to do the hopscotch, so I gave them the chalk. And in a few moments, literally a few moments, that sun came over that building and was shining down hot on that spot. And so God delivered me. I gave the chalk, and she came back to me and she said, are you glad you passed the chalk? You ain't in the sun. You over here in the shade, because you don't have to deal with that. You don't have to argue with anybody. And from that moment to this one, I try not to argue with you. Amen. It is what it is. Don't have to, because I know that I'm confident in God enough that if I'm wrong, he's going to convict me because I hear his voice. If you don't hear God's voice, then praise God, you got some growing to do. And that's why you got to wake up and understand that God has gifts and he has assignments and he has all these goodies for you if you just listen and pay attention. And so if I had never woke up, then I would have never grown up in that area. Now, yes, I'm grown up in a lot of areas, but there's some other areas that I still need to wake up, look up, get up, and break up. I need to break up from some the candy and some of the stuff that I've eaten that's not healthy for my body. And praise God, I'm doing that now because I understand that there's a purpose and a plan for me, and I can't do that being out of shape and overweight. And so I'm making a difference. And so it was a time that I couldn't get up because everybody told me I had to rest, so I stayed in the bed. But God woke me up to let me know rest doesn't mean sleep. It means rest in me so I can give you the instructions. And when he did, he opened it up. I have physical therapy, water therapy, and I see a chiropractor and see them both 2 times a week. And so is that helping me monitor the stuff that I'm eating? Absolutely. Is that helping me lose weight?
Absolutely. Is that help me with the focus to understand that my body is a temple that the Holy Spirit lives in? Before, I don't know that I really understood what that really meant. I knew that I was praying and I was reading my Bible, so surely God's, I'm the temple. But am I really making sure that my temple is healthy? And am I doing the things that God has called me to do by eating the right foods because I'm listening to him now because I'm resting in him? No, Leah, I don't want you to eat that. And if you do, just take a bite and put the rest of it away. Oh, Lord, but that's throwing away food. Well, you want to put it in you and throw you away? Or throw it in the trash and get rid of it because you don't need to eat it? Saints, we got to wake up. We're allowing the conditions of this world to modify our thinking and to making us think that it's right when it's totally against what God is saying. Clean plates. I mean, that sounds good, but if it's going to hurt you, throw that plate away. And it's the same thing with, you know, I have a really good job. I have a job that allows me to do this, and I can spend the money here, and I can travel here, and I can go there, and I can do all these things. But my children are suffering because I'm never home. It's a great job. I'm getting paid, but is it helping my children? I mean, when I heard about Regina King's son committing suicide, it hurt me. And it hurt me because she's at the prime of her life. She has directed movies that she could possibly be nominated for Oscars for. And I mean, she's really got her life is really on the trajectory of where she's always wanted it to be. And her only son killed himself. So I'm sure, I don't know for certain, but just from my perspective, having children, it has to go through her mind. While I was so busy trying to focus on me, remember we talked about last week, our morals. When we focus on ourselves, who is suffering because I'm more focused about me? Am I not growing up in an area where I know that I have to raise my children? How is it that I have doctor's degrees and master's degrees and my child can't read? That doesn't look right. And so something is wrong. Something is off. I'm not growing up in a certain area. I'm not waking up. I'm not looking up. I'm not getting up. Definitely not resting in the things of God. Because do you think he would want for me to say that, you know, my children are suffering while I'm, you know, on the fat of the land? No. So that means I got to break up some things that are going on in my life that are contrary to what God has said. So how do I do that? Well, first and foremost, one of the things that I've always gone back to, and I've said this several times on the broadcast, but I have to keep reminding you, you have to change your mindset. In order for you to grow up, in order for you to wake up, in order for you to look up, get up, rest up, break up, and never give up, you got to change your mindset. You got to, one, know who you are to God. What does God, how does God feel about you? What is your purpose? Are you protected? And then are you destined to win? So I'm going to start with the one. Who are you to God? We are all fearfully and wonderfully made and made in his image. Yes? Absolutely. And so if we're made in his image, then how do we know how he feels about us? Well, we know how he feels about us because he gave us on his son for us. Oh, I'm looking for the scripture. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if he loves me enough to sacrifice himself, to die on the cross, to be beaten, to, you know, to be spit on, to be talked about, to take all the pain and all the humility that he did for me, he has to love me. And then he provided all these resources for me to get ahead, for me to do the things that I need to do so I could be the head and not the tail, so I could be a lender and not a borrower. I mean, if you know your word, praise God, you'll know who you are to him and how he feels about you. And then if you don't know your purpose, ask him. That's why I quote John 15:5. He is the vine and we're branches. And as long as we remain in him and he remains in us, we will bear much fruit. Apart from him, we can't do anything. And then two scriptures down, verse 7 says, and if you remain in him and his word remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given. Are you kidding me? I mean, amen. That whole chapter 15 is thebomb.com because it lets me know who I am in him. And it lets me know who he is, that he's divine, not me. He is. So I can't have the focus only on myself. I got to grow up because everything isn't about me. It's about him. And what am I doing to represent him? And so when I do that, praise God, I know my purpose because he's going to reveal it to me. T.D. Jakes once said that everybody's trying to figure out what their purpose is and they're buying books and going to seminars. And he's like, if you live right, you'll hear the voice of God and he'll tell you. But many of us want to know because we want to take control of it. Wait for him. I promise you he'll reveal you your purpose. And then I believe that I'm going to say the scripture at least most of the time that I'm on, that I get an opportunity to share, that we have power and authority to trample on scorpions and serpents and they won't harm us. And we're running from roaches and from bugs and flies and mosquitoes, really. We have to know the power and authority that we have in the things of God. So you need some money. Just wait. God will provide an opportunity for you. I mean, I wasn't looking for an opportunity. I mean, well, I kind of was because I want to produce my book and I want to do it the right way. But I don't make a whole lot of money. I'm on disability. I mean, I'm still healing from cancer. But how about I have an opportunity to do some things and help people along the way and make some money on the side to pay for the things that I need? I didn't ask for that. It just happened. Why? Because God loves me enough that now he knows I'm responsible because I've grown up a little bit in some things. And so he provided an opportunity for me to help people and still be able to make some money to do the things that he's called me to do. My nephew said maybe a year ago when he was on the broadcast, he's like, when you're ready to be a student, God will send you a teacher. He will. That's his promise that he will provide for you. And so, again, back to the power and authority. If Jesus performed all those miracles and he said that we would do greater ones, he raised people from the dead. He delivered people from demons. I mean, we scared to read about the devil, but he said that we would do greater works. So that means you're protected. That means that he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And in Isaiah, he said that he has the world in his hand, in his right hand, not his left hand and right hand, one hand. He has the world in his hand. And because he has the world in his hand, whatever you need, he will provide that for you. So why do you think that you can't prosper? Why do you think that you can't grow up? All you got to do is pay attention. And God will make the things just available to you. But we want to do our own thing, and we want to live the life, as I told a friend that called a few moments ago, that we do things on our own, and because we do that, we open doors to the enemy. And so he loves to watch because he's still kill and destroy, and so he's a lion. And so he will do what is necessary to find those doors, those weak places in your life, and he'll climb in. And when he climbs in, you won't know until Vegas is developed in your heart because he doesn't announce that he's there. That's the whole point of being deceptive and secrecy. So that's why you don't tell people that you have problems. That's why you don't tell people that you're struggling in the air because the enemy wants you to keep it quiet. So people tell me often, Leah, you'll put all your business out. Yeah, I will. Because if that means that I'll be delivered and set free, you better believe it. Put it on a billboard. Leah has a lust problem. Absolutely. Yep, that's me. Yes. If that's going to deliver me from the hands of the enemy, you better believe it. I don't mind telling people. No, because I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. I'm not saying I have that problem, y'all. I'm using an example. But nevertheless, you hide that because that's what the enemy wants you to hide it. The Bible said that you have to confess your sins. Confess. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou confess with your mouth that the Lord, he shall come into your heart, God is raised him to the dead, and you will be saved. So I don't think that he would save you and leave you in your mucky muck. No, he wants to deliver you. So you have to know that you are protected. And then you have to know that you're destined to win. If you have the love of God and you know how he feels about you, and you know that you have purpose and that you're protected, you got to believe that you're destined to win. But the only way that you can be destined to win is you have to grow up. And so what do you do? How do you grow up? Well, there's just a few little things. You have to be consistent. Many times we'll start a thing and then we just don't finish. But if you want to grow spiritually, you have to be consistent. And that means you have to be consistent in your prayer time. You have to be consistent in reading your word. You have to be consistent in... Now, this one's a little difficult for me because we've been raised that you got to go to church, got to go to church. I believe that you have to have personal mentorship. And if that means going to attend a church, so be it. But I do believe you need to be in a body of believers. You have to do that because you have to have somebody that's holding you accountable. I think that the church environment is changing now because the enemy, praise God, there's Vegas in the church. I'm saying that from a spiritual standpoint because he's in. And there's not enough people reading the Bible. There's not enough people standing on the word, not enough people resting the word. And so because we don't believe we have power and authority, we let the devil just do whatever he wants to do. And so we won't talk about him because we want you to feel good. And so because of that, the enemy has set up camp. And so now all of these churches and all of the things that are surrounding that building has been defiled. And so a lot of people don't want to go there. And so because of that, you have all these people scattered and they don't know what to do. And so you got people watching online. You got people listening to, you know, broadcasts like me, praise God. You got people everywhere. And so even though it's good to tune into me on Monday nights and get an inspiring word, you still need to admit, you need somebody that you can touch, that you know, it's great to hear Dr. Dollar, love him, but you need to be in an environment where there could be people that can touch you. And so if that's church for you, amen. But it could be a Bible study group. It could be a prayer group. Whatever it is, the Bible says to come together and to fellowship with one another. Doesn't mean 50,000 people. I'm just saying. But we got to come together and we got to be in one accord. And we got to be studying the things so that we can grow up in him. Amen. And so you got to be consistent with your prayer life. You got to be consistent with your word. You got to be consistent with being in an environment that's going to help you develop and grow. And then praise God, you got to help other people. You can't get fat on the word and then not share it. You got to share it. You got to help somebody else understand. That's why I say we have to be encouraged. And then we educate you, and then you be empowered. Not to keep it to yourself, but to do what you need to do, but to share it with someone else, with somebody else. Well, I say my grandmother's church motto was each one, reach one. If each one, reach one, can you imagine what the world would really be if we really did that, if we really did it? And so how do I do those things? Well, one, there are some things that we have allowed ourselves to get involved in that's going to require more than just praying. But that's something that you have to go to God with personally, or somebody that can help you, because sometimes you need to fast and pray. But praying is so important because you got to have a relationship with God. You got to talk to God. You got to know he talks back. You just don't do all the talking. He talks back. So you got to know how to listen and hear him. And then you got to learn how to talk about being in the word. You got to meditate on scriptures. You got to find scriptures like the scriptures that I had, like I said. That's Luke 10:19, I believe it is, the power and authority. When you get a handle on that, that you have power and authority, that when those things that come upon you that are just cuss too much, lie too much, a gossip, a cheat, a steal, and you know you do those things on a regular basis, amen, you got to know you got power and authority over that as long as you got Jesus in your heart. But you got to believe it. And it's a part of my book where I talk about them people think they believe the word. I know the word better than they do, and he does. And he's like, I walked. Look, in the Bible, it talks about he was in the cool of the day, and the devil came to God and said, God said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm looking and seeking who I am. So he talked to God. We ain't done that. Not like that. And so he knows the word. So if you think that you can overpower him, Amen. You got to read the word so you can know what to say back to him, because he knows the word probably better than you do. And the best of the best, even me, and granted, I don't claim to know all the scriptures, but I've read quite a few of them, and I've studied quite a few of them, and I still know that I can't hold a candle to the devil. But I know the ones that I need, and the ones that I know that I need to use on him to make him back up and get up off of me, because I know the word and I believe it. Because I know it for myself. I'm not believing it because, oh, Leah said to go to this scripture, and yeah, that's what she said. No. Or pastor said such and such about this scripture. No. You got to read it and know it for yourself. And that's why you have to meditate on your scriptures. Meditate on your scriptures. And then spend time, like I said, in an environment that is going to keep you accountable and hold you accountable to do what God's called you to do, whether that's a prayer group, a Bible study group, whatever it is, church, whatever it is. And that's why they tell you when you go to church, join a ministry. That's accountability, so that you can be part of something, not just coming and sitting down and going home and say you've been to church. So, I mean, well, what did you do? I mean, you came, you sat down, you heard, you didn't write nothing down, you know, accountable to nobody. And so as soon as you, well, I ain't even going to say when you get in the parking lot, you get to the door, the enemy's going to meet you to take that away from you. You have to be in an involved, in an engaging environment where people can hold you accountable and call your name, touch you. That's why my grandma's like, oh, no, I could never be part of a big church because I want the pastor to know my name. Where's the reason for that? You know, we've gotten beyond that because we have mega churches. Now, the pastor don't have to know my name. Well, no, we don't. But you need to be, somebody in that church needs to know your name if you're going every week, because you got to be accountable for somebody. You got to get involved so that somebody can hold you accountable and share with you when you're going in the wrong direction. I love, love, love the people that God has placed around me, because they tell me when I'm wrong. They tell me when I'm going too far. And I'm not that secretive or deceptive that I can't say what I need to say to them. I tell them whatever. And they are comfortable enough to say whatever they need to say to me and get me right. And so I'm grateful for that. You got to have those kind of people in your life. And then you got to help somebody or someone, something. I loved, loved, loved before COVID when I was able to work with those that are in transition. I don't call homeless people homeless because it's just transition, because that's degrading, in my opinion, to tell somebody they're homeless because you don't know their situation. But I say they're in transition, and they're in for the transition because they're waiting for somebody to help them. They may not understand the need to help some of them, but some of them do know that they need help. But if you never go to help, how will they ever be helped? And so I enjoyed that every first Friday and every third Friday, going and talking to people that needed to hear that Jesus loved them, that they had power and authority to come out of that environment, and that if they put themselves in the right positions and the right resources would come to them. So what are you supposed to gain from today's lesson? You got to grow up. You got to wake up. You got to grow up first and be focused on kingdom advancement. You got to wake up and know that you have power and authority to trample on whatever it is you're going through, as long as you have the blood of Jesus and instructions and the wisdom of God. You got to look up. You got to look up and know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So look to him. And you got to get up. You got to do the things that he's called you to do and not live in a state of your failures and your shortcomings and your missed opportunities. Get up from that. Shake that off of you. Bible says, shake the dust off you. Amen. Rest up. It doesn't mean necessarily sleep. You got to rest in him, rest in his word, rest in what he tells you to do and do it. That's part of the meditation. You got to break up from things that are the old mindset and people and things that are pulling you down and wearing you down. And most importantly, you can never give up. You can never give up because you got to know what the word says to you. And so I suggest to you that you pray and that you hear God's voice and that you learn his voice and that you do your Bible study, that you get a devotional, or whatever it is that God leads you to do, study the word, and then allow yourself to be connected to an environment. I know COVID and all that, but praise God. If you pray and trust God and believe the blood of Jesus is over you, amen, wherever he leads you, praise God, because I know Leah, I need people. I can't just be in front of no computer forever. I need to touch and see people and know that they're accountable to me. Amen. You got to be in the right environment. And then, praise God, you got to help people. Now, I love talking, and I can continue to talk. So you know I'm never, ever out of talk, but I am out of time. And so you'll have to tune in again next week to hear another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to Him, because it does. And I know, praise God, after 95 years of living, she has to know a little something-something. And so I'm grateful that little something-something she deposited in me. And so I know to be committed to the things of God, because I know she is. And so I play the song for her every week. But most importantly, I want you to remember that as we celebrate Black History Month and all the other things that we celebrate, celebrate you, because you made a decision that you want to grow up. Amen. And you want to grow up in the things of God. And to do that, you have to remember to do this daily. You have to start your day with prayer. You have to pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Yeah.